Blog Talk Radio.
This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Glenn the Geek from the offices of EasySignsOnline.com in Ocala, Florida.
And I'm Jamie Jennings from Phoenix, Arizona, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning for November 16th, 2010, Episode 12, sponsored by Pfizer Animal Health. Good morning, Horse World. Good morning, Glenn. How is it down in sunny Florida?
It's not so sunny today, actually. We have a lot of clouds, and we're heading home to Lexington later today, and it looks like we're going to have rain the entire 11-hour trip. So it's going to be a fun drive after the, but I'll tell you what, it's not snow. So that, I mean, we could be driving through snow for 11 hours, so I'll take the rain anytime. We did have an absolutely blast. Can I tell you about yesterday? Please.
Okay, please tell me about yesterday.
So yesterday we headed down after the show to Arabian Nights, and we met up with Audrey Paget, who is the executive vice president. And she was absolutely great. She took us around and showed us the staging areas and took us down to the arena at Arabian Nights. Of course, Arabian Nights is a big dinner theater down in Ocala, all about horses. And then she took us back to the barns and introduced horses and talked about how they schedule their evenings and how all the riders know which horse they're supposed to be on and, you know, which entertainers are on which horse during the show and, you know, how they do the costume changes and all that stuff. So it was ass-last. We had a great time there. We got to meet a lot of the horses there. And they don't just have Arabians. They have 13 breeds of horses that they use during the show. So that's kind
That was my question. That was going to be my question. Is it all Arabians? Are they strict Arabian people? Or is there, you know, what other breeds did they have?
Well, they have Percherons there because they also do, you know, a lot of vaulting and gymnastic kind of stuff. So they have Percherons there. They had the cutest little Shetland ponies. Oh, my gosh. They had some quarter horses there that they did. By the way, that was really funny. They had some quarter horses there, but the Shetland ponies, I fell in love with the little Shetland ponies, and she's like, they bite.
Oh, no.
I think I was the only one in the building that actually liked the Shetland ponies. They had some quarter horses. Yes, exactly. But they were cute as a dickens. And I love their little tiny noses. But they had some quarter horses there they do reining with. They do all different types of stuff during the show. And we recorded a stable scoop show there with the help of Melody McCray, who was one of their entertainers that's been there for almost 5 years. And Emily, none of us knew how to say her last name. I think it's Devalia or Deval. And she had been an entertainer there for 2 years. So we had all three of them on the show, on the Stable Scoop show we recorded that we'll put out in the next week or two. We'll announce it here. But we had a blast. We actually recorded right in the arena. We were right outside the arena there where everybody sits. So we set up our recording equipment there. So we were actually sitting looking at them lunging horses and stuff in the afternoon while we were recording. So it was a lot of fun. We had a blast. The entertainers were, you know, the girls were terrific. They were a lot of fun. You can tell that they just love what they're doing, you know. Well, you know, it's kind of a dream job. If you have any entertainer blood in you and you're a horse person, working at a place like Arabian Nights is a dream come true. You get to play horse. You get to play horses and you get to do it in front of 1,200 people. So that's kind of neat. You'll find interesting, too, having just built an arena, that they just replaced the night before, overnight, they replaced their footing in the arena. And they used 5-bar footing, which is kind of looks like a, it kind of looks like tan bark almost, or something like that. It's very soft and bouncy, but they replaced 12 inches of the footing in the entire arena. They actually took out 240,000 cubic feet of footing and replaced it overnight. So apparently they do that once a year. Yeah, they have to replace the footing in there once a year. So
their horses work pretty hard. You know, their horses work pretty hard. They need the best footing. I mean, they run around there every night. How many shows do they do a day, Glenn?
Well, they do one show a night every night during the week, and then they do two shows a night on the weekends. And they'll actually rehearse every day. So they're working almost every horse every day during the day, and then they rotate the horses. They have 52 horses there. So they rotate the horses in and out, you know, of the shows to give them days off and things like that. But there were some funny stories that you'll hear on the show that the girls talked about, you know, about picking the wrong horse to go out for an act, and then what do you do, you know? So, and, you know, one of the problems they have is they have a lot of white Arabians, so gray Arabians, so it's tough. You know, they all kind of look alike. And when you're in a hurry, you know, the girls will actually do 5 to 7 different acts a night. So they have to come out with their horses. They have to get off the horse. They have to change their costumes. They have to tack up the next horse, get them ready to go, put their costumes on, and head out for their next act. And they'll do that 5 to 7 times a night.
That's incredible. That is incredible.
I know. And they're very versatile riders. They can do almost anything, English, Western, you know, vaulting. They can do acrobatics. You know, so they learned to do all of those different things over a period of time. So it was just a lot of fun. You'll hear that on the Stable Scoop show coming up. And, then we had something else fun happen. We headed over after that to Animal Kingdom Lodge, which is the big hotel there at Animal Kingdom in Disney. And they have their own little animal park right outside the hotel. So if you're staying there overnight, you can get the rooms that you wake up in the morning, go out in your balcony, and there's zebras outside your balcony.
Oh, my gosh.
Grass stuff. Yeah, I know. It's cool. So you can have your coffee while watching the animals wander around. Well, they had 3 giraffes there yesterday, and it was funny. The correlation that we watched them for a long time because they were just feeding them at the time we were there, and we had one of the park guides right beside us, and she was telling us about it. Giraffes are so much like horses. We couldn't believe it. They feed them in these tall feeders that are on the sides of trees, and they give them these what look like tree branches with leaves on them and stuff. I don't know what kind of trees they were, but they're a pile of these, and they stuff them in the feeders. Well, so the pickup truck comes out, the feeders, so the giraffe sees the pickup truck, just like horses. They come trotting over as fast as a giraffe's legs will take them and come up right beside the pickup truck. And while she's stuffing the stuff, imagine doing this into your hay racks. While she's stuffing the stuff, you know, the tree branches into the feeder, the giraffes are ripping it out of her hands, and, you know, she can't even hardly get it closed. And the giraffes, and it's so funny because one's on one side of the truck, and the other two are leaning all the way over the pickup truck with their long necks and getting the feed out. Well, what happens, you know, as soon as they put it in there, within a minute or two, they have it all ripped out and it's on the ground. So just so horse-like. It was unbelievable. And then of course, the giraffes are standing beside the truck, so they can't move because they run over their feet. And they won't leave because they're feeding over the truck. So she's trying to bribe them with, like, what looked like vegetables of some sort in a bucket. And, of course, the giraffe looks at it. Well, she's holding it way out from the truck. Well, the giraffe's neck's so long, he just doesn't have to move his feet. He just puts his neck down. It was so funny. The correlation with horses was incredible. We just kept going, the horses do that. They're just naughty. Now, and you know, go ahead.
Oh, did they have any sort of, like, dominance displays? Did the one, like, was there, like, a herd leader and then the submissive one?
There was, I think there was a male. What there was, I think there was a male, a female, and then a baby. And the baby was 3 years old. And by the way, this 3-year-old, but not so much a baby anymore, but much smaller than the other two, still tried to nurse. It was the funniest thing seeing this long neck go down and twist around and try and nurse. And the male was kind of shy around the humans. He was probably the least friendly. But the other two, the mama and the baby, were just all over that pickup truck, sniffing around the back, looking for goodies in the bed while she was trying to stuff. It was so funny. And then the funny part, too, picture your horses in the field. You've just given up a pile of food, right? So the pickup truck finally gets the move, and they head over to the next feeding spot. And she gets up to put the things in the branches in the spot, and they all run over. Because that has to be better. And they went through that whole routine again, over the pickup truck, ripping it all out. So it was just funny.
That is so cool. Have you ever been to an animal park where you can actually pet them? There's one in South Georgia where it's like a drive-through animal park, and you can drive in, and the giraffes are actually loose with the zebras and the donkeys, and there's all sorts of zebra donkey mixes, and it's just a bizarre place. But they have the giraffes roaming around, and they will stick their head in your car because you buy food for them. You buy these big giant pellets, and they will stick their head in your car and stick their tongue out. It's like a foot and a half long, and they will grab your entire bag. They'll take the whole bag.
They're funny animals. They really are. And, you know, we determined that if you're going to ride a giraffe, you really need a lift back pad because they're real downhill in the back. You need a lift back. You need a serious lift back pad to be able to ride a giraffe and put the saddle on. So anyway, that was a lot of fun. We had a great time. We ate at the buffet there at that Animal Kingdom Lodge. That was unbelievable. We ate five courses, and we just kept going back and trying a little bit of everything. It was terrific. We had a great time. So anyway, we have a show today. It's not all about my adventures at Disney. Sorry, people. I didn't mean to bore you to death. I just had to tell Jamie all about it. It's the only time we get to talk during the show.
I know. Well, that's exciting.
What's coming up here, Jamie?
Well, regular segment, Darcy, she loves to go through the internet. She's an internet junkie, and she's going to join us with her latest hot off the web segment. Basically goes online and finds anything cool about horses online that you can be a part of and lets us know. Also, we decided to do a blog of the month award, Glenn, and our first winner today of blog of the month is going to come up and talk to us about her blog. And the cool thing about that is her blog is about products and horse fashion and stuff. So what we're going to do is we're going to get her ideas on what is the best thing to do, you know, holiday shopping wise. And then we have something really interesting. Liza Rogers is going to talk to us about urbanizing your horse. And I wasn't quite sure what that was, but I assume it has something to do with making your horse not spook as a bicycle goes by, which is what my horse does. So I will find this extremely educational. We'll see what happens. But Liza Rogers talking about urbanizing your horse coming up. And of course, we always welcome your calls. You can call and talk to us about your experience with, you know, Disney or giraffes or whatever. And we're also going to talk about later on the things that your horse does that absolutely drives you crazy.
Yeah, I have a couple of, you know, Beaker's a mild quarter horse, but I hate it. We go out there, we put his fly mask on, and every time he takes it off, he's in like a 30-acre pasture, and you have to go out and find it. I mean, you have to walk 30-acre pasture trying to find his fly mask every day. Yeah, it's one of the crazy things he does. And then the other nutsy things he does is he's so treat-obsessed. He just will not let your pockets alone, and we try not to give him a lot of treats because of this, but he just will not let you alone. He's very friendly about it, but it's just constantly picking at your pockets and, you know, looking for because he knows there has to be somewhere. Now, the advantage to that, though, is that when you go out to get him in the field, he runs up to the gate. You don't have to go out and catch him because he tears up to the gate. He'll knock other horses over getting up to the gate because he just knows you're going to have a treat for him somewhere. So at least you have that.
He is in a big field. So, well, we'll talk to people about that. I did ask my husband, I said, what are the things about the horses that drive you crazy? Because, you know, I ride them all, and there's certain things that they do that make me nuts, which we'll talk about. But I asked him, and he said, you know, I hate it when they blow snot on me.
That's a good one, actually. I didn't think of that one.
I know. He seems like he's like, they always happen to do it right when I'm standing in front of him. And I guess the other thing he said is that he hates it how, you know, we can ride these horses, we gallop them in the desert, I'm jumping them over fences. They're totally fine with that. And yet we go turn them out in the field and they play so hard that they end up hurting each other. So, of course, hurting each other in play is one of the things that bothered him as well. So, anyway.
All right. Well, we're going to give away another prize to give away today to a lucky caller. One caller will win the 3-pack of custom stall signs from EasySignsOnline.com. As I said, I'm recording from their offices here in Ocala, Florida. For all of your farm sign needs, you can find anything you want at EasySignsOnline.com, and you can actually do it all online. You can see the prices, and you can pick your styles and sizes. You can go through, and they have multiple options, and you can do all of that at Easy Signs. These custom stall signs are great for your barn, for the stalls, for the horses' names, things like that, or your tack room signs, or if you just want to make your kids' signs for the holidays, for their bedrooms, we can do whatever you want with them, and we're going to give away a 3-pack of those worth $100. So you can pick your styles and the whole thing. That's our giveaway for one lucky caller.
And, of course, we have the grand prizes for the month. All you have to do is call 347-637-3238. Talk about your horse. I mean, that's all you have to do is talk about the favorite thing in your life, and that, of course, is your horse. And then you can win a $500 holiday shopping spree from Equestrian Collections, or your name will get put in the hat, and you can win your choice of any Vespucci bridle and reins worth up to $600. So pretty good selection, and the odds are pretty good, too. So give us a call, 347-637-3238. But I do believe that we have somebody special on the phone right now.
Yes, we do. Darcy is on the line. She's here with her Hot Off the Web segment. Hi, Darcy. You're on the air.
Hi. How are you guys?
We're good. Now, before we get started, I have to ask you how Darcy is currently taking care of our horse Beaker while we're away. How's he doing?
Good. I just brought him in for the day. It's pouring rain and cold here.
Oh, is it? It's a little chilly in Pennsylvania, huh? Or in Kentucky.
Yeah, we have our first mud in 6 months.
Well, I think you guys needed the rain, though, right?
Oh, we did. We needed it so bad.
Now, the question...
I think I can start to hear the rain.
Yeah, I'm in the barn. I've been juggling rain sheets around.
Now, the thing is, what we were just talking about with Beaker, Darcy, is that he constantly takes his fly mask off somewhere in the back of the pasture. So is his fly mask currently in the back of the 30-acre field in the mud buried now?
Probably, yeah, it's buried for the winter. he used to.
You just buy him.
You'd find it hanging around his neck like a dog collar.
Nice.
All right. Well, we are talking to Darcy, not necessarily about my horse, but about your Hot Off the Web. So what cool pages do you have for us today?
Well, I found three pretty neat ones. Can you hear me through the rain okay?
Yeah.
Yes, we can.
Okay. All right. Just check. I got three cool pages. I found a page called All Horse on Facebook. And that was, I think, my favorite out of the three. It's A-L-L horse, all one word.
And what is
it? Okay.
And that was a site started by a lady in Ireland for the purpose of raising money for charities, equine charities. And it ended up becoming a really neat equestrian site for, you know, all about horses. I mean, it's named perfectly. It doesn't matter what breed or discipline you do. There's videos and fun stuff on there. And it's just, I was on that site for probably an hour last night.
And it's called All, I just looked it up and it is All Horse, all one word.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's All Horse, all one word. And they have 25,000 followers, Jamie.
Yeah.
Wow, yeah.
It's really fun.
They have now 25.
All horse.
Where'd my hour go, you know?
Yeah, they have 25,001 now because I thought there were some pretty cool videos that they had posted on there, so I'm excited to go back and watch them. So what else do you have?
I have Classical Horse, and that's a Facebook page.
All right, so we're going to look that one up.
It's in Portugal, but it's transferred to English. I mean, it's really a lot of the sites like that. I can't read it. It's in another language, but it's absolutely awesome, and it seems to have a dressage theme about everything. But it's a lot of fun to drive around on there.
Oh, you know what? I think that one's called Classical Equines.
Oh, Classical Equine. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I think that one's called Classical. There it is. Classical Equines.
Yeah.
Yep.
It's got a picture of a dressage rider on white horse.
Yeah, Spanish.
Yeah.
Yeah.
With the tonos and the Andalusians.
Cool. This is a great one.
Yeah.
So
and
really
we can.
They have a lot of videos on here too.
Yeah. It's just pretty.
Yeah. And what else? Last one.
Last
one more, I think.
Yeah, it's gymnastics for horses. And I love the theory of gymnastics for horses because you think, you know, different exercises and how to improve my horse's jumping. And I thought it was going to be all about that. But unfortunately, when I got on the page, it was a lot of those work from home ads that people post on there. And then if you drive around all the way to the bottom, you can see some neat horse stuff. But it's that was a little disappointing about that because it did seem like it would be a great site.
Yeah, wait a second. I'm looking down and it's like, you're right. They need to go in and clean up all of these posted advertisements, people. Hey, guess what? You can make $89 an hour working part-time from home. This is an amazing site. Oh, my gosh.
It was going to be such a cool site. And I was like, what is this? So,
yeah,
they
cleaned
up the advertisements.
Glenn,
they're making more than you, Jamie.
There's a woman that makes $8,795 a month working part-time from home. I just want to turn in my notice because I am going to go work.
Good, yeah. If anybody would like to co-host a morning radio show, give me a call at... That's becoming a big problem on Facebook now is all the spammers. It is. I have to clean up our sites all the time. It is becoming a problem.
Well,
it's only a matter of time before they figure out how to do it.
Well, that's what happened to MySpace. MySpace was so popular, and then all of a sudden, all these advertisements, I got requests from very scantily clad ladies. No thanks. Cool. When you actually find the gymnastics for horses, it looks pretty good. So there's a cool videos on here.
Yeah, you just have
at the bottom.
Spend some time and look for them.
All right, cool. Well, we're going to let you go early today because I know that's pouring down rain. But tell us, you have a lot of horses there at the barn. Just tell us real quick, what are a couple of the things that just drives you crazy about one or more of the horses?
That's a really good morning to ask me that. I'd have to say because of the weather, one of my pet peeves is you trudge out to the far end of the field with a rain sheet, and the horse sees the sheet and goes, "Oh, I've never seen one of those," and runs away. And the other one.
You have a lot. Yeah.
I love them to death, but I'm going to use a couple. The other one is I have this one fence, like three fence boards that come down every day. And the other day, I hung the board up, like, the third time for the day. And I have the hammer, I climb the fence, and I hear whack. And I look behind me, and the fence board was down. So, I'd have to say that. And the rain sheet.
So as soon as you hung the fence back up, they knocked it down again?
Yeah, it was in, like, I still had the hammer in my hand, actually, so. That was,
awesome.
And then there's Beaker.
All right.
Right now. Did you hear him?
Yeah, I did hear that, actually. He was just saying hi to me. That's all.
Yeah.
He was just saying hi.
I'm gonna miss you.
All right. All right, Darcy, we'll let you go. Get the rest of the horses in. Thanks for joining us this morning.
Sounds good. Bye, guys.
All right. Bye.
Bye. Hang in there. Oh, gosh, I remember the days of taking care of horses in the rain. It would rain so much in the fall in Atlanta that, you know, by the time winter actually came, you just had mud paddocks. It was just mud.
Yeah.
And every day you bring the horses in, you have to wait for the hose to thaw. I'm sure Darcy does, too. Wait for the hose to thaw so you can hose off the horse's legs. And then you got to towel dry them because you don't want them to get too cold. I mean, ridiculous amount of work just for these horses that are, you know, you basically spoil. Like she said, you bring a rain sheet out to the pasture to put it on your horse. They don't want the rain sheet on. They're like, no way, dude, I'm out of here, and they run away. So that just goes to show you they don't really want to be pampered as much as we want to pamper them. Does that make sense?
That makes a lot of sense. And, you know, the other thing, too, in mud world, and you were a horse husband, one of the things, one of your jobs was when the horse came in the morning and his shoe had been sucked off in the mud, was to go out and find it. You know, the mud's a foot deep, you know, in certain parts of the field. You have this big field, and you're out there trying to find a shoe that's probably buried. But we've all had the times, too, when it's been so muddy that you're walking through a field in a paddock, and your shoe or boot gets sucked off, you know.
Oh, yeah.
We've all had that, too. What are your favorite boots? What are your favorite? Were you a welly girl, or did you wear something else for the mud?
You know, all growing up, I wore those duck shoes. Do you remember those?
Yeah,
they're hard to find now, but duck boots I wore all the time. Now I have a pair of Ariats, and I cannot take them off. I love my Ariats. I love the Heritage zip fronts, and that's what I ride in every day. And then I also use the I have clogs. Obviously, you got to have a pair of clogs if you're going to be in the barn. But out here, I'd say I wear the Ariats simply because it doesn't rain here. We get maybe 2 days a year of rain. So it's really easy to just go outside in your flip-flops, you know, and muck a stall. Obviously, don't mess with your horses in flip-flops. But, yeah, it's so easy here. But, yes, I remember the days of the duck shoes. What about you guys?
But you know, you have sand, right? So you don't necessarily even – you just have sand everywhere, sort of like you're at the beach all the time.
Actually, now I have grass. We live in an equestrian community that does irrigation, which is a whole new world.
Oh, yes. Tell everybody. We have a minute or two here. Tell everybody about the irrigation and how that works. I found that absolutely fascinating when you told me.
It is the coolest thing. When I first moved here, I had to board at a place that had no grass, and it was just sand, and then you worry about sand colic, so you're giving your horse psyllium all the time trying to flush it out. Then we've moved into this community, and what it does, it has in between the rows of houses, there's a canal that goes through, and every 2 weeks you sign up for as much water as you want. So we sign up for an hour and a half of water. And what that does is for an hour and a half at a certain specific time of day, we have to open this little portal in front of our house and then block the other side of the portal. So all the water coming down this canal then is directed into our yard. And so it runs down in the back of the yard and floods the field. I mean, floods it. So you obviously have to bring your horses up. You know, they get turned out in the arena during this time. And it takes about 3 to 4 days for it to absorb down into the ground. And honest to goodness, it keeps your grass. You would think that it would kill the grass. I thought it was going to kill the grass when you flood your field once every 2 weeks. But really, it keeps it great. So I don't have a problem with sand because I've got the grass. It's so nice to have that option living in the desert. You definitely don't want to drink the water. It's not
I imagine not.
No, but the chickens love it, the dogs love it, the horses I keep out of it. So it's definitely an interesting way to have pasture management because we just don't get rain.
Well, you know, and I did never thought about that. How do you do that when you live in a place like that? It's nice that you have that option, though.
Yeah, it really is. It was definitely something I was not expecting, but it makes such a huge difference. Think about your horse. I mean, living in Lexington, you're so spoiled to having grass up to your knees, and all over the world, grass is everywhere. When you live out here in this godforsaken place, in this lovely desert.
In this lovely part of Arizona, yeah.
you have to have like different pasture management skills. Like, we can't have closed-in barns here because your horses would get too hot. So it's like there's basically panels for the barn and a big roof. And then we have, for the summer, we have misting systems that we put in our barn to keep the horses cool and keep the mist going down on them. It is just the most amazingly different way to manage horses and to keep them cool and keep them happy. And of course, my horse is from the East Coast, and he has this winter coat that, I mean, he looks like a big, giant pony. So I've already clipped him twice. Because he just hasn't adjusted to the fact that it's not going to get cold.
Well, you came from a sunny, lush part of the country too, in Atlanta. Mm-hmm. So you weren't used to that at all.
No, he had a 60 acre pasture that he went out in every night. And now we've got, you know, our 3 acres of grass, but it's, you know, we work really hard to keep it clean. And we pick the pasture to keep the grass nice. So we do definitely a lot of work trying to keep it horse friendly and horses happy. But it's worth it totally. It's so nice here at this time of year. No rain like you guys
but
have.
But yeah, you don't ever have to worry about that. And it sounds like where Darcy is where we're going today after our 11-hour trip. So it looks like we're going to be driving right into it.
Sounds fun. Well, hey, Glenn, by the way, our sponsor this half hour, I just have to tell you, it's Pfizer. Daily deworming makes a difference you can see. Feed Pfizer Animal Health Strongjet C or C2X to help your horse's coat shine. Strongjet C2X is designed for daily administration to horses and foals, killing parasites before they take your horse's good looks and good health. Learn more at PfizerAH.com.
And well, next up, we have, I'm here. Yep.
Oh, go ahead. No, I'm just going to introduce Ashley.
Go ahead. Yep.
Yeah, this is the coolest thing. She has won our prize for Blog of the Month. And, of course, you guys can email in the blog that you sit down and read every day. Or if you have a blog, shoot us an email or Facebook about it because we can put you in the running for Blog of the Month. And that is what Ashley Perry got this month. It's the holiday time of year. It's shopping time. And she has a blog, and let's have her tell us about it. Ashley, you're on the air. How you doing?
I'm great. How are you guys?
We are great. Thanks for joining us today. Tell us, first off, so everybody can log on to it, what is your blog website?
My blog website is thehorseandhabit.com. So thank you so much for having me as your first blog of the month. We're so excited.
Well, yeah, you deserve it.
Yeah, when did you start the blog?
You know, I bought the domain name last summer, 2009. I was laid off from my job and just couldn't find a job and was thinking about things that I enjoy. And I thought, you know, I like to write. I love horses. And I really like, you know, style and design. So I just thought I'd put it together in one blog. But, of course, right after I bought the domain, I got a job. I just didn't have time, which is great, but I didn't have time to put it together. And my sister came to me last spring, and she said, you know, you have this great idea and this great domain name. You should just do it. Just find the time and do it. And I did. So, honestly, I was surprised. I had so many readers just in the first few days. I set up a Facebook page, and, you know, I got a like within the first day, and I thought, oh, my gosh, people are reading this.
That's great.
The response has been great, and I've had a lot of fun with it.
Okay, so tell everybody what you do on thehorseandhabit.com.
Well, we have 5 different categories, one for each day, and I write you know, things about life and style within each category. So on Mondays, for example, I write about the horse, and that's just general things about, you know, riding and equipment. Tuesdays is the habit, which is, you know, things we wear inside and outside the ring. Wednesdays is focused on travel. It's called the distance. Equestrians travel a lot, so I have various things for us to take on our travels and places to visit. On Thursdays, we do the farm, which is home decor. And on Fridays, I have the pony for the young riders and their parents.
Very, very cool. It is a great website. Now, do you ride on a regular basis?
I do. I have a 4-year-old Hanoverian mare, and she is very green. So she was just started under saddle, and we're just kind of working on walking and trotting and learning balance and steering right now. But I'm hoping to get her in the show ring and out fox hunting sometime next year if things go well.
Well, great. So your website right here, first of all, I have to tell you that I absolutely love the muck boots, the blue muck boots that you guys have listed there.
Oh, I know. Aren't those great?
Oh, they are the coolest thing. So what is the best?
Jamie, I could see you wearing those, Jamie. I really
Oh, my gosh. I think they are so cute, and they're so fashionable. I wouldn't actually probably wear them around the barn. I'd wear them out.
I probably wouldn't either. But who knew you could look so fashionable while mucking around in the barn, you know?
I know. I think they're great. So what do you think the hot holiday gifts are going to be this year?
Oh, that's a great question. You know, I think that fashion has become so equestrian influenced this year. It seems like you can easily give gifts for the equestrian that, you know, they can wear out on the town and, you know, around, but also in the barn. So I don't know. I think that there are a lot of choices out there for us.
Nothing particular you would think of?
My gift list is very, very long. I'm doing a gift guide. I'm doing a gift guide this week, and I told my husband this is a very dangerous blog for me to be doing because I just keep adding to my list.
So that's the truth. Now, is it a gift guide to give away or the stuff that you want? That's going to
exactly.
be great.
Now, let me ask you, how do you pick the stuff that you put on here? Is this just stuff that you like or – you know, is there a rhyme or reason to what you pick to put on here, or are you just always looking around?
I'm just always looking around. It's things that I enjoy and that I like and things I think other people would like. You know, I think being a horse person really influences so much of your life and so many decisions you make and things you like. So it's pretty easy to find things that I think others would enjoy as well.
Well, we're speaking to Ashley Perry, and her website is thehorseandhabit.com. She is our first blog of the month, and it was appropriate that we picked you now, considering that we are coming into the holiday season and gift time, and you talk a lot about different items that I've never seen before, to be honest with you. And you know, I'm a horse husband, so I don't understand a lot. We drove by a sign again yesterday that said something couture. Is that how you say it? Couture?
Yeah, mm-hmm.
Yeah, okay, good. What the heck is couture? Because I have no idea as a horse husband here.
What's couture?
I have no idea what it is. Tell me what it is.
Designers come up with, you know, their special, unique perspectives, and they hand make a lot of things that you just wouldn't be able to find anywhere else. And that's sort of what couture means. It's things that you might not necessarily find on the shelf that are more, honestly, like a piece of art.
It's
not mainstream stuff. It is very designer stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Which in horse husband speak means expensive.
Yeah. Usually so.
That's exactly it. Pretty much if you see that word, just stay away because you're not going to be able to afford it.
Okay, good. Yeah.
You can dream about it, but.
Oh, my gosh.
That would explain why I don't know about it. If we're driving down the road, like to this little town in Ocala, and there was a sign for this couture store, that's one I should keep Jennifer out of, in other words.
Right, you should distract her.
Yeah.
Hey, honey, look to the left. There's a cow.
So what do you hope to do with the site? What are your goals with this site going forward?
You know, it's only been online since August, so it's still growing and I'm still coming up with ideas, and I have a very long list of things I want to write about, but I'm also an amateur owner. I have a full-time job, and, you know, I spend my days leaving the office as soon as I can, rushing to the barn, riding, rushing him, and trying to, you know, appease my husband for spending all that time at the barn. And, you know, I kind of want to include some perspective of being an amateur owner and, you know, balancing all those things in your life. So
well, what do you
sure
do with your Hanoverian mare?
Right,
so what
now,
kind of riding do you do? Yeah.
I want to do hunters with her.
Oh, really? Okay.
But we
and you
we are very far away from that right now.
And you did
oh,
do eventing and stuff,
there.
Right?
Yes, yeah.
And I see that you also like fox hunting. I see a couple posts about fox hunting, too.
I do. I love to fox hunt. I'm hoping to take her hilltopping this summer, this spring, so she can kind of get used to it. But, again, we're just working on walking and trotting right now. She's the first horse I brought along from scratch, and it's quite an adventure.
Oh, that's great. Now, good for you.
Now, Jamie, have you ever fox hunted? Is that something you've done before?
I love fox hunting, but I have to tell you that I've fox hunted in Ohio and I fox hunted in Georgia. And the bad thing about fox hunting when you're invited, unless you're a member of the fox hunting team, you know, or whatever the club, then they make you ride in the back. Is that not true? You have
well,
to have a
true,
dead
yeah.
last.
Yeah, that,
see,
that's
the problem
true. That is
true. The problem that I found with the fox hunting is I'm always on an ex-racehorse. I've always fucked with a thoroughbred. And it has been just the worst battle to keep. Okay, there's a group of horses that are going to gallop away from you, but you need to stay in the back, okay?
Yeah, that's hard. And it's never a good idea to pass. It's never a good idea to pass the hounds. That's never a good idea. It's frowned upon.
No, they don't like that very much. They don't like that. Well, I do have a question for Ashley. I know we are new farm owners. I'm newly married, and my husband has never had horses in his yard, and he has been just the most superb horse husband that I could ever ask for. What do you think a great horse gift would be for a husband of a rider? Since you
that's
know
a great question. You know, my husband is not horsey at all. In fact, he has terrible memories of an awful riding accident he had the one time he went trail riding with friends. So he's a good
doesn't
horse
everybody.
Husband, but he is not into the riding. I have found, honestly, he likes cocktails. And I found a lot of cocktail accessories that have, you know,
don't we all?
Them. Exactly. So he can enjoy his bourbon, and it can have a little horse theme to it, and, you know, that'll keep him happy and away from the horse theme.
Well, you know,
okay.
I think if the best
drunk.
Gift you can, I think
exactly.
the best gift you can get your horse husband is something non-horsey. That's just
exactly.
My
opinion. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Something that
here's
doesn't have a horse on it at all.
Or you here's can get one of those. Well, it was really good Scotch whiskeys that's, like, called, you know, the Highlander, and it's got a horse on the label. So,
exactly.
You guys are incorrigible.
Yeah, you know, a cocktail shaker with a horse on it, it's perfect.
Oh, my gosh.
Well,
Mary?
Jamie, that leads back to our we had talked about before, you know, do you marry a horse husband or not? Obviously, Ashley, you didn't marry a horsey guy.
No, I didn't. He's very supportive, though. It's funny because,
well,
like I said, he had sort of a bad experience, and he comes out every once in a while to see my mare. And, of course, it's, you know, the day that it's windy and she's a little spooky, and just, it doesn't seem to work out very well.
All right, Ashley, we have a topic today.
It'll be fun.
We have a topic today we're talking about, and I wanted to ask you that before we let you go. So we're talking about the things your horse does to drive you crazy. So you have that Hanoverian mare. What does she do, the little things that she does that just drives you nuts?
That's a great question. She has a great memory, and if I give her a treat, she remembers exactly when and where I gave her that treat. And whenever we go back there, or whenever that situation happens again, she looks for it. You know, She's sniffing in my pocket, sniffing my hand. She just will not let it go. She lives for the treats.
That sounds
good. Yeah, I have one like that too.
It's a bad habit, but she also shreds her blankets.
Oh, really?
Oh, I have it. Yeah. I have not found a blanket that she will not destroy. So.
She just keeps little razor blades in her mane, and when you're not looking, just cuts them to shreds. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. That's a Hanoverian mare thing, I think.
No, it's not a Hanoverian mare thing. There are other horses in the world that do that besides Hanoverian mares. My warm blood does the same thing. And you know what I think they're telling us, Ashley, is that they just don't want to wear it. They don't want the blanket on at all. And you try to tell them, you're going to get cold. They just won't reason and they won't listen.
No.
Well, Ashley, we talking with Ashley Perry, the author of thehorseandhabit.com. She's our blog of the month. It has been an absolute pleasure talking to you. It has been exciting. I've got some great gift ideas. So we really appreciate you being a part of the show. And tell 100 friends.
Thank you so much. I've enjoyed it.
All right.
Thank
well,
you,
we will,
Ashley.
Yeah, we'll keep in touch with you and talk to you soon.
Okay, great. Bye.
Bye.
Well, we're up now to the news. We're going to take a news break here. We invite your call. You can give us a call at 347-637-3238. Tell us the things that drive you crazy that your horse does. And we're going to be up with our next guest here shortly.
This is the Horse Radio Network News. The U.S. show jumping team, under the guidance of chef d'équipe Michel Grubb, won the Nations Cup in Buenos Aires, Argentina last week with a win over the Canadians, who finished second ahead of the home nation. 18-year-old Lucy Davis from Los Angeles, California, riding Nemo, won 1-9. John McConnell from Lemitar, New Mexico, aboard Katie Riddle. Megan Edrick from Ocala, Florida, on Cadence. And 19-year-old Sarah Coulter from San Francisco, California, riding Chelan, flew the Stars and Stripes. Lucy and Sayer have already been teammates earlier this year when they won the gold medal at the 2010 Adequin FEI North American Young Rider Championship as members of the Zone 10 team. World champion three-day eventer Biesthetique Sam FBW has been removed from the stables of his partner Michael Young in Germany following a disagreement over his ownership. Part owner Sabine Kreuter removed the 10-year-old gelding to her facility in order to present the horse for sale. Following Young's victory at the Alltech FEI World Equestrian Games, Young has reportedly been offered €1 million for the horse, in which he owns 40% and Kreuter 60%. The two owners have a 5-year and 3-month contract through the end of 2010, after which Kreuter is free to sell her majority share of the horse. With the number of unwanted horses currently estimated at 100,000 per year in the U.S., increasing the ability of current facilities to care for horses and starting additional facilities would help to alleviate the burden, according to the Unwanted Horse Coalition. The 2009 Unwanted Horses Survey heard from more than 2,000 participants out of a total of more than 27,000 respondents representing equine care facilities, found that many of our nation's rescues are at or near capacity and must turn many horses away. The survey found that 39% of facilities have reached their maximum capacity. Rescue, adoption, and rehabilitation facilities reportedly turning away 38% of the horses that are brought to them. One of the most appealing solutions cited by the respondents is to increase the ability of private care facilities to care for unwanted horses. A recent survey conducted by experts at the University of California, Davis, estimated that there are 326 registered non-profit equine rescue facilities in the U.S. The maximum capacity of these rescues is approximately 13,400, well below the estimation of 100,000 unwanted horses in the U.S. every year. This is HRN News, and I'm Chris Stafford for Horses in the Morning.
Ready?
Oh, what a beautiful morning. Oh, what a beautiful day. I've got a beautiful feeling. Horses are coming my way. You're listening to Horses in the Morning.
Well, we're back. This is Glenn the Geek and Jamie Jennings here on Horses in the Morning, and we're just having fun chatting with guests and with listeners. So give us a call at 347-637-3238. You can call us about anything you want to chat about this morning, and don't forget that we're giving away three of the personalized farm signs from EasySignsOnline.com to a lucky caller today. So we welcome your calls, and of course, every caller will be entered into the drawing at the end of the month for the $500 gift certificate from Equestrian Collections and also their choice of any Vespucci bridle.
I thought of something.
Yeah, okay.
I thought of something else that drives me crazy about my horse. You know, we've been talking all morning about the things, the random things that drive you crazy about your horse. Why? And we have this whole big field, Glenn, this whole huge field, and you bring your horse up, you're going to get him tacked up, you put him in the cross ties, and they poop. Why every single time do I tie my horse up, he decides that that's the time he needs to go to the bathroom, which makes me then have to go, you know, leave and clean. It's like I clip the cross tie on him, and it makes him go. I don't understand why you have all the time in the world to do that, and you choose to do it right when I put you in the cross side.
Well, you know, ours actually, take Beaker out. He does a similar thing. He doesn't do it in the cross ties, though. But as soon as you get him out and you take him and you go, you know, 100 yards on your ride, he pees. He stops and has to pee. 100 yards
really?
Into your ride. Doesn't matter. Oh, yeah. And you just sit there because he's stopping and he's peeing. He doesn't care what you're doing. So as soon as you get that pee, you know, out of your system, so you're fine. And by the way, Jennifer is with us today. She is producing the show, but we're in a temporary setup in Ocala, and she can't talk on the air. But she did just send me a note, Jamie, that says cross tie your horse if he has an impaction. So if he ever has colic, you cross tie him. You don't have to worry about it. Cheaper than a vet.
Yeah. That or a trailer ride will do it, I guess. And you know what else? What else drives me crazy? And maybe you have a horse like this. Your horse will. I mean, I'll get on my horse. He will jump a car. He will jump anything that you put in front of him. There is nothing that he is afraid of. Yet a bicycle goes by, and you would think the horse was being attacked by the biggest monster that you have ever seen, and it is a bicycle. There's some poor guy pedaling a bicycle down the road, and my horse about runs away as far as he can get. And that kind of leads us to our next guest, thank goodness, Glenn. So maybe she has some advice for me about that.
Yes, we have Lisa, I think it's Lisa, and she is on, Lisa Rogers, she's on here. She's going to talk to us a little bit about the town of Norco, which is kind of a special place in California, and she's also going to talk to us about urban obstacle courses, which I had no idea what they were. So let's say hi to Lisa and find out. Lisa, are you there?
Good morning.
Morning.
Well, good morning. We appreciate you being on here. So tell us about urban obstacle courses. What's that all about? And then we'll talk to you about how you came to do that.
Well, here in California, we've been doing things called trail trials for 20-plus years. And trail trials is a competition where you can go on a 6 to 10 mile trail ride, and along the ride there are obstacles that you encounter that you are judged on. And with the trail trials, it's indigenous to the area where the competition is taking place. Well, here in Norco, we are basically in the city, and our indigenous area would have bicycles on our trails or shopping carts or blown over trash cans that are a great big huge giant monster that's going to eat the horse.
Oh, yeah.
And that is kind of how the whole obstacle course came to be. I'm an event planner by profession for equestrian events, and there's a lot of competitions out here that do this, but there's no place for anybody to go into practice.
So you saying there is competitions, or you guys are the first ones to do the competitions? How do those work?
No, I'm not the first one to do the competitions. We've been, these type of competitions have been going on here in California for over 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
There's ETI, which is Equestrian Trails Incorporated. There's the California State Horsemen's Association. More recently, people have been exposed to the Extreme Cowboy Race that they see on RFD TV with Craig Cameron, which is the extreme end of obstacle competition.
Right.
And then you have, the new organization that really has taken this trail trial concept and launched it nationally with the American Competitive Trail Horse Association, also known as ACTHA. But they are competitions where there could be any number of different kinds of obstacles. And they're really kind of nice because you don't have to have a certain breed of horse. You don't have to have a certain kind of saddle or show clothes. And it's really something an entire family can go out and do together and compete together along the trail. And they're not expensive. It's really the fastest growing segment of the horse showing industry, if you want to say.
It is very, very cool, the stuff that you guys have on these courses. So I'm looking at the pictures, but explain to our listeners what exactly they might find on a course.
On a typical course, you would find an obstacle that would require you to hoist something from the ground to a horse's eye level and above the horse, either pulling it towards you or dragging it behind you. They require you to put on a rain slicker, which, listening to your show this morning, you on the East Coast, you guys have rain. So actually being out on a trail and having to put on a rain slicker is not such a big deal for you guys. But here in California and Arizona, I mean, a horse is not used to listening to that rustle. Or
no way.
Or have...
You guys are wimps.
That could be an obstacle. In Norco here, an obstacle could be a mattress, literally a bed mattress that has fallen down on the trail, and there's no way to get around it except walking across it.
Well, that's something that would happen every day, right?
Yeah, you have a lot of those in California? I don't...
Well, living here in Norco, we have 120 miles of continuous horse trail in our 15 square miles.
So you
holy
just want
cow,
to get
now that's something, we don't have on the East Coast. That's really cool. So Norco, tell us where Norco is. That's the name of the town, by the way, everybody. And this is a very horse-friendly community.
We are, Lexington is horse capital of the world, but Norco is Horsetown, USA. Per capita, we have more horses than we have people. We have last reported population census in 2009 was 27,000 residents, and we have 33,000 plus horses.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, wow. I want to move there.
I know. This sounds like a perfect place. Now, you guys are located just, according to the map, just southeast of L.A., right?
Yes. And Disneyland is, as the crow flies, 37 miles to my west.
Okay.
Oh, cool.
Okay. You're actually in part of that... You're actually in part of that country where you hear in the news all the time where there's fires, where there's forest fires, fires.
Yeah. We Norco is an official evacuation site for animals. We have an entire division of our fire department that's set up for evacuation, and it's the Norco Animal Rescue Team, and we're extremely horse friendly. We don't have concrete sidewalks here. Our sidewalks are horse trails. They're decomposed granite horse trails.
Oh, really?
Yes.
I want to move to Norco. This sounds like a cool place.
I know, right? Well, that's what I was thinking is, you know, you have to have your horses pretty darn broke to walk around in 120 miles of trails with all those horses. There's the fires, the smoke coming through. I mean, no wonder you guys work on getting your horses so quiet.
Garbage trucks. I mean, you know, Monday is garbage day. You have trash cans that are sitting out on the curb. You know, people have parties over the weekend, and so there's Mylar balloons floating out of the trash cans. You know, there may still be the bouncy house from, you know, the kids' party still sitting in the front yard. There's the leaf blowers. You have, you know, landscaper trucks that drive down the street and all their equipment's bouncing on their trailers. People move. So when they move, they put out their lazy boy chair out on the street, and you have to get your horse piet. You have bicycles, mm-hmm. people riding bicycles. And then you have the holidays.
Jamie knows about that one.
Yeah, thanks.
Jamie wants some help with training her horse about the bicycle. She needs some help with that one.
Do you actually, Glenn, I want to remind everybody we're talking to Lisa Rogers from Norco, but actually I am going to solve the bicycle problem this weekend. I am going to a clinic to get my horse over his deathly fear of bicycles, and the other thing, which is so bizarre that he's afraid of, is like plastic grocery bags. And I feed him carrots out of the plastic grocery bags, and he's still afraid of them. And it's just like what you were saying, Lisa. They blow across the pasture. They get stuck in the fence. They make a lot of noise, and our horses are afraid of them. So hopefully we're going to take a little bit of initiative from you guys at Norco, and we are going to get over all of these problems.
Well, one portion of my course is set up right now. There's a 12-foot section that's 6 foot high that is covered with nothing but white trash bags.
Oh, my gosh. My horse would die.
Take us through real quick. Okay, the trash bag thing, that's a good one. Take us through real quick what you will do to desensitize a horse to the trash bags. Can you take us through that real quick?
Well, I'm not a trainer, but how the obstacle course came to be is I was a 48-year-old woman that got back into horses as an adult. And, you know, moving here to this community, you have to, the street hurts when you hit it.
So yeah, it's funny how that works.
Yeah. And so, you find out when you're out on trail what it is that bothers the horse, and then you come home and you work on that. The trash bag thing, we tied a couple of trash bags, just a couple of them, on the railing of my turnout arena and left them there. And then I took a trash bag and put it on the end of a crop. And so when I would go out feeding, I would shake it behind me. But you also let a horse chase something instead of chasing the horse. So you try to get the horse to come to you, you know, shaking the item. And most people know this, that, you know, a horse has two brains. So you have to always introduce whatever the item is to the left side as well as the right side. And, you know, you just get them comfortable with it instead of forcing the issue onto the horse. You know, the bigger things that we have here is the holidays are coming up. You know, mm-hmm. the big inflatables are a very popular item for people to decorate their front yards.
That's true. See,
yeah.
You know what? I'm learning a lot because, you know, I live in an equestrian neighborhood, too. Everybody has 2 to 3 acre farms, and we ride around in the streets. Of course, we don't have groomed horse trails. We ride on the side of the road. But there is a little bit of a path for the horses to walk down. And I didn't even think about that being a problem. People with their inflatables, with the big snow globes that blow stuff everywhere. Oh, my gosh, I'm terrified now.
Yeah. But, you know, I have a 6-foot inflatable giant cat's head that the mouth opens and closes and has giant fangs. Now, are you going to go down a horse trail and you're going to find something like that? No, but if you introduce them to something like that, the next time they see something big and scary, they're going to say, oh, okay, well, I came across something similar, and it didn't hurt me then, so maybe this isn't going to bother me now.
Yeah,
right.
That sounds
right.
Good.
In theory.
In theory, that sounds great, but I'll let you know how my little clinic, that is my desensitization clinic, goes on Monday. And if I'm not on the air, it's because I'm in the hospital. So you may have to call in again, Lisa, and be a part of our show on Monday because we'll need a co-host.
Well, you know, we would love to have you come here. And we can put you through our little course back here and give you a hands-on. And I have a lot of trainers here in town that would be more than happy to provide you this service for free.
Oh, that's
oh,
very
cool.
And I'm actually
Jennifer
not that far
go.
Away. Yeah, Jenny,
no, you're
can
not.
Come too.
We need to record
a
show from
Norco.
Yes, we do. We need to record. We need to do the morning show from Norco. How cool would that be?
Yes. We would love to have you here, and we can put you on horses, and we can show you the whole town. You know,
there you
go. The one thing that's really interesting, and it's very fun to talk to people that are not familiar with Norco, kids can actually ride their horses to their favorite fast food hamburger chain and tie up out in front and go inside and have themselves.
How cool is that? I mean, that's cool.
Yeah.
That is, you know, it's the one thing you can do to help fight childhood obesity by go get a burger. Go
That's
get a
good.
Burger from the burger joint, but you're going to have to groom your horse, get on, and ride there and ride back. So, you know, as far as burger joint goes and riding through the drive through, I think that's the best way to do it.
There you
that's
go.
That's terrific. Well, we want to thank you for joining us. We appreciate you being on with us today. And we're going to put links to your give us your website. What website should people go to?
www.firsttimeevents.com.
Okay.
So
firsttimeevents.com.
Yeah. And I have already linked you on my site.
Okay.
I think what you guys
oh,
are
terrific.
Doing
thank
is
you.
Fabulous. And
well, great.
On my Facebook.
Well, that's right. We appreciate that. Now, you sent out a. Sorry about that.
I sent out an email with your link to several of my Norconian friends, and just, I mean, because your show is relatively new, and so you know the Norco story is so special that anybody who wants to talk to me about it, I feel compelled to. Share their story too.
We'll put links in our show notes about that too.
I have one question before we let you go, Lisa. The one thing that your horse does, this is our topic for the day. Of course, everybody else can call 347-637-3238. We want to hear from you Norco people. What is the one thing that your horse does that absolutely drives you crazy?
She paws when I tire.
Yeah. Don't you hate the paws? They're just the worst.
You know, and
they just
it's
don't
the
pop.
Only it's the only vice she has, and you know, she's so good about everything else. She's really good at obstacles and she's taken very good care of me, but she paws when I tire and it just drives me crazy.
Now, is she one of the ones that paws with one foot or she switches feet?
She counts with both feet.
Yeah, she does.
Yeah.
She just digs a big hole. Just a
yeah.
big
yeah.
hole right in front of her.
Yeah. She has Labrador in her or something. I don't know.
Well, we really do appreciate you being a part of the show. We hope to keep in touch with you and talk to you soon. And thanks for posting everything on your website. And, of course, you can always hear more about her and Norco just by going to Facebook. We'll have it up on our webpage. We'll also have your stuff up on horsesinthemorning.com. Lisa, thank you so much for your time, and we really appreciate you being on the show.
Thank you.
All right,
we'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
All right, this half hour is sponsored by Pfizer Animal Health. Help protect your horse with Pfizer Animal Health's West Nile Innovator. the first vaccine developed to help protect against equine West Nile virus. West Nile Innovator is available in several combinations with Eastern, Western, and Venezuelan equine encephalomyelitis and tetanus for convenient protection. Contact your veterinarian about West Nile Innovator and the other Innovator family vaccines. You can visit them at find more about them at PfizerAH.com. I cannot read. I got almost the whole way through without messing that up, and look at that. Look at that.
Glenn, I'm amazed that you can say equine encephalomyelitis, yet you can't say Pfizer. So
I couldn't even do the website address. How bad is that? Well, we got some callers coming in here. We'll be taking them in a minute. I wanted to mention to you that Frankie Lovato posted on his blog. Speaking of blogs today, he posted an article that I think you're going to want to read, Jamie. And the title of the article is called Zenyatta, the Greatest Racehorse in History, or The Greatest Racehorse in Our Hearts. It is an excellent article. He did a great job with this. We're going to post a link to it on our Facebook and on our show notes. But it ends with a paragraph that I wanted to read to you. He says, her race record now shows a less than perfect 19 wins from 20 career starts. But her record in winning our hearts and respect remains perfectly intact. The greatest racehorse in history, or is she just the greatest racehorse to win over our hearts? Could she be both? Only time will tell with that, but I say go Zenyatta. So you're going to want to read the rest of that. I guarantee you're going to want to read the rest of that. Hey, and we have Wendy calling in, it looks like, from Norco. We're going to get to her in a minute. So that's kind of neat that we have another caller from Norco. She was right.
Absolutely.
We have people that actually do listen from there. So we're going to get to her in just a minute. But you do need to stop over. You're a Zenyatta fanatic, so I think you're going to need to stop over and pay a visit to his blog post.
What's the website?
His blog is at exercisehorse.blogspot.com. So it's exercisehorse.blogspot.com.
Cool. Well, we'll have to post that to our website as well.
Yeah, you're going to want to take a look at that. You know, we've had horses over the years that have done some crazy annoying things. And I do think that some of the things that horses do are more annoying. For horse husbands than they are for horse wives. You have to agree with that.
Wait, start over now. Say that again.
I said some of the things that horses do are more annoying for horse husbands than they are for horse wives. So you have to agree
with
that.
That's what I thought you said, but I need an example because the annoying things, what would be more annoying to the husband than to the wife?
We're more easily annoyed because, we're horse husbands. So, well, I see that Wendy from Norco is on the line here. Hi, Wendy.
Hi. I like your show. I was just listening to your broadcast because Lisa Rogers is a friend of mine, and she's right on track as far as what we do here in Norco and what we have to offer everyone and the kind of acclimatizing that we do with our horses. And I was going to comment that one thing my horse does that I have to work on is he'll chew the end of the lead rope and he'll do a certain amount of grass snatching on trail. So I kind of wrapped his muzzle with my riding crop and said no. And now when he's chewing on the lead rope, I'll tell him to drop it, and he sort of spits it out of his mouth like a piece of spaghetti. But it's kind of humorous to watch, and he's looking at me like, who? I'm supposed to do this, or are you watching me?
You didn't see that, did you?
Right. And I'm going to bookmark your horses in the morning because I didn't know about your show until Lisa told us, and it is just a lot of fun.
It'd be cool if we have a whole town listening to us. Is there any way you could just wire up a speaker system and put us through every morning?
You know, I need to. I'll have to tell Lisa that. Maybe if she's listening, she'll do it. She is kind of good at doing things like this, or she has connections, because there's so many people in town that know something about things like this, and I'm sure that we would all love to be connected with you, and if you came and visited, that would be great. I was sitting here with my husband having a cup of coffee, and we thought, horses in the morning here, yahoo!
Absolutely.
Road
fantastic
trip.
Well, hey, you know what? We would appreciate it if you would tell maybe just 100 friends. That would be great. Just 100.
I'm going to be sending this link to my family and friends and getting them, asking them to listen to your archives and sharing it with them and see what we can get up and let them have some fun. I'm sure that they will. And I'll tell them that I ended up being on. I didn't expect to be on talk radio like this.
Well, you know,
I was there, and you said you wanted to hear from Norco people. I looked at my husband. I said, I had a call.
Well, I'm glad you did.
So I'm having a lot of fun.
Well,
it's 7:15 here.
Yeah,
go ahead.
It's early here too. I was just going to tell you that, you know, in case you don't know, you are in the running because you called and got on the air, and all the other Norco people, listen up, because every caller that gets on the air is in the running for our daily prize, and today it's 3 custom stall signs from EasySignsOnline.com, and
wow.
We have 2 grand prizes for the month, $500 holiday shopping spree from EquestrianCollections.com, or your choice
wow.
of any Vespucci bridal and reins. Up to $600 from worldequestrianbrands.com. So you are, congratulations, in the running for all of that.
Well, thank you. What kind of information do you need from me so you can stay connected?
You
well,
what?
We
already
have your phone
all.
Number. Yeah, we have your phone
that'll
number.
That'll help.
So we got you covered that'll... there. But thank you so much for calling in. And you can call anytime. We love our regular callers. And we will announce today's winner on our Facebook page at Horses in the Morning. Just search for it on Facebook, and that's where we announce the winner after the show. So check it out
there. Well, I think your show is neat, and Lisa was right on about everything she said. I was nodding my head right and left, and I said, she's right, mm-hmm, that's exactly what happens. And her course... I was working it the other day, and I thought, you name it, she's got it. This is great, and it'll help a horse be safer later. Everything she said was correct, and there are some very smart horse people here. Yeah.
Cool. We're glad to have it out there. You know, there's a lot of people that don't work as hard with their animals as they could, and, you know, we just really appreciate a place, and we wanted to bring to light a place that's doing it right, and you guys are doing it right, and we really appreciate that. And we'd love to hear from anybody else out there that does have, you know, a similar kind of place that they live. You know, tell us about it. We want to hear about it, because Norco is definitely a cool place, and we really do appreciate your call, and thanks for being a part of our show.
You're welcome.
Thanks,
thank you for allowing me. Come visit.
Oh, we will.
Okay, we will. Well,
all
let's
right,
take our go ahead.
Yeah,
you want to take our regular caller, Lisa? And this is Lisa from West Virginia, one of our regular callers. Hi, Lisa.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Well, it's going great. So your horse must do something that just drives you crazy.
You know what? It's usually not even our horses. It's usually somebody else's, but...
Oh, right. Your horse is perfect.
Yeah, your horse is perfect.
I'll tell you all about that, too. I'm going to tell you how bad they are on the trail, how we work our endurance horses. But I can't stand it when I'm trying to work a horse or I'm in the barn and another horse is just screaming and flipping out. I can't stand the screaming, like when they're upset because their buddy got taken away or they see a new horse and they scream and it irritates me. I cannot stand it.
Yeah, that's true. I agree with that one.
I had a horse like that. That used to be my horse. Now I had a horse like that when I was a kid that screamed, and I could not stand it. I'm like, I can't take that. That's crazy.
Yeah, and it's such a high pitched, pathetic, like
it's so irritating.
Exactly. I know how you feel. I know how you feel. Of course, it's not our horse. Our horse would never do anything like that.
It's somebody else's horse. We train on the rail trail here in West Virginia, and they used to be railroad tracks, and they took the railroad tracks and they put down dirt and bluestone, and when that last guest, I think her name was Lisa too, was talking about de-spooking your horse. We ride Arabians, and they're freaking retarded. Everybody knows that. I mean, they're crazy. They're like, you know, we have one that just looks for things to be scared of. There's nothing there, and he's just, and he's got a white ring around his eye, so he looks a little bit half crazy anyway. But we go down the rail trail, and she's right. There's leaf blowers, weed eaters, children, bikes. I mean, it's crazy. And we're going 15 to 20 miles an hour in a straight line down the rail trail. And
it's not straight, is it?
You know what we call? We call it a Seabiscuit moment when we see a lawnmower,
yes,
or, you know, that when the tractor backfired and the jockey got thrown and drugged. When we see hazards like that, we'll yell, Seabiscuit moment, you know, so everybody kind of check up a little bit.
I never heard that one before. That's pretty good, actually.
Yeah, I think we made that up. We've fallen so many times.
I actually thought of that when you were talking about it, because there's a part in Seabiscuit where he's galloping down the track and he didn't know how to run straight. And he was like weaving to the right, then to the left, then to the right, then to the left. And that is exactly how my horse goes down the road when we're cantering. Oh my gosh, a bush. Oh my gosh, a house. Oh my gosh, a car.
Seabiscuit moment,
right,
Seabiscuit.
Exactly, Seabiscuit moment. I love it. I love it.
And
I'm
we even
feel that
we
one.
Ride it. We ride in this little town called Salem, and it's right on the rail trail, and they have a hitching post outside the Dairy Queen, and sometimes we'll go out there and get a treat. Usually we're in pretty good
shape. Oh, now that's
training,
that is the absolute
Dairy Queen.
Best.
Yeah.
You can't get any better than that.
And it's not a horsey town, but they do have a few, you know, that little town has, you know, a couple of trail riders and things that go through, so they have a little hitching post there, and every now and then, usually once a year, we stop for ice cream.
We have a rule when we're on vacation that you have to get ice cream every day. That's the rule. And how cool is it to combine ice cream and horses? There is just nothing better.
I agree. It's pretty awesome. But
Thank you, Lisa.
Thanks, guys. It was nice talking to you.
Lisa, thank you very much. I did think of another thing that drove me crazy, and I was going to ask Lisa about it, but we have a pony in our backyard, Glenn. And
yes,
as you know,
do.
Ponies, yeah, we have a Hackney, he was a rescue, he's a Hackney pony mix, and he's just starting to get ridden now, but he's 5 or 6 years old, full grown, he's like 13 hands tall, he's tiny. But as you know, you're always battling with weight with ponies, it's constant. So he doesn't get very much food, he's out on the grass, but it's limited, I keep him up all night long, he gets, you know, a handful of hay, a handful of grain once a day, he doesn't eat very much at all, which just drives him absolutely crazy. I think he thinks I'm starving him, when he's actually getting the appropriate amount of food. So he has learned, Glenn, how to open the front gate to our field. And what he does is he sticks his little nose. We have the little hole where you reach through and you grab the thing and you pull. He sticks his tiny little nose through there, grabs the latch of the gate, slides it sideways, and goes running out. He doesn't run away. He wants no part of leaving the farm. He goes over to the alfalfa because we have an older horse that needs the alfalfa, and he goes straight to the alfalfa hay and just chows down. Of course, never knowing, you know, hey, little guy, you could get laminitis. You don't want to eat that. It's bad for you. No, they don't care. That drives me crazy.
And ponies are the best escape artists in the world. Their noses are just so small. They can get in places where horses can't. So they just become the best escape artists ever. Well, we're going to have to wrap up. We have a long drive ahead of us here, Jamie. And I want to tell you, I want to give a shout out first, though, to Mary Lawrenson. Mary is a young dressage rider out of Boston who is also, you've heard her on the Dressage Radio Show. She co-hosts over there on a regular basis. Well, Mary took a spill on Friday, I think it was, or Thursday or Friday. She was training one of her young 4-year-old horses. And the horse bucked her off, and she came down pretty hard. Thank God, and she says this, that she was wearing a helmet. It basically destroyed her helmet. And I think she fractured 2 vertebrae at the base of her neck or at the base of her skull.
No.
So she was in the hospital for a while. She's out of the hospital wearing a neck brace, and the picture I saw of her in her neck brace, she still looks cute and adorable because Mary's very cute and adorable. And she had a big smile, but I think she's in a little bit of pain, and she has a little bit of recovery time ahead of her. But she does say that if it hadn't been for that helmet, she might not be here today. So we give a shout out to Mary. Get better soon, and we hope to hear you on the Dressage Radio Show very soon as well. So, that's about it, Jamie. Let's wrap things up. Be sure to listen to all the shows on the Horse Radio Network at horseradionetwork.com. You can also follow us on Facebook. Just search for Horses in the Morning, and that's where you can see who won today's prize of 3 custom stall signs from EasySignsOnline.com. And we're also on Twitter at Horse Radio.
Now, the cool thing is, Glenn, if you missed the live show, and probably, you know, if you're listening to this right now, you're hearing it live, but many people listen after. You can also listen to the recorded version on our website if you can't catch it in the morning, if you have barn chores, if you have that thing called a job and you can't listen. You can listen on our affiliate websites, iTunes. You never have to miss an episode. And we will be back. Are you going to be back in Lexington tomorrow morning at 9 Eastern?
We hope to, yes. Otherwise, you'll be talking to yourself for an hour and a half tomorrow morning.
Have a safe drive. Seriously, I know it's raining all the way up and down from Ocala to Lexington. So have a safe drive. If you need a place to stay in Atlanta, I've got you hooked up. My dad would love to have you. So
He hates me. My comments about the Grand Ole Opry, he's never going to let me stay in his house. No way. So.
Still, he's very Southern, and they have hospitality, so you'd be fine.
Oh, that's true. That is true. All right, good. Well, we thank all our guests today, too. We appreciate everybody for being on. It was a fun day. And to everybody in Norco, California, welcome to Horses in the Morning. We'll talk to you tomorrow, Jamie.
All right. Goodbye.